Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
And happy Labor Day. Jan again is away from us. We're all wishing her well and hoping for a speedy recovery for her. Anyways, I wanted to touch bases with you guys. Today is Labor Day, and that's celebrating all our hardworking Americans. And I guess they celebrate Labor Day up in Canada as well. So I have some Canadian friends who are out on their boats and doing their fun things. But today's topic is about, you know, holidays and things like that. When you are a entrepreneur, solopreneur, things of that nature, even if you're just looking for a job, we don't have the standard work week. I mean, you may set up your business and your life so that you do have that, but a lot of us will work Labor Day, we'll work Memorial Day, we'll work even Christmas Day. Doesn't mean that you're going to be working with clients or things like that, but there's all kinds of things that we need to do. You need to do some marketing pieces, maybe some cleanup work and some client projects, whatever it is. The key thing about being an entrepreneur is some people get into it and they say, because I want the freedom, I want the time. And it's well thought out, but a lot of times you end up putting in more time unless you learn how to really focus on what it is that you need to get done. One of the things that I try to do is I try to have to-do lists done every single night so I know what's expected of me the next day. So whether you're working as a solopreneur or a entrepreneur or a job seeker, any of those three, it's always good to know what you expect from yourself. Otherwise, every day can just go off on tangents, and that happens to a lot of people. So I wanted you to think a little bit about, okay, you know, yeah, it's a day off, but if you can sneak an hour in here or there so that the rest of your week is going to be more productive. I remember when I worked in the corporate world that, you know, you're trying to cram, you say you got Monday off, you try to cram 5 days worth of work into four, so it wasn't really like having a day off. So as solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, we can actually do a little bit to make our lives a little bit easier in the long run. Some people think it's sacrilegious to work on a holiday. I personally don't. I like it. It gives me an opportunity to get things done with less interruptions. The phone isn't ringing. There's less email. So it really helps me kind of get ahead. And that's just my philosophy. I'd love to hear what your philosophies are. But speaking of philosophies, I've got a killer awesome guest. And Michael Schmidlin is known as the underwear entrepreneur. Michael, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, thanks for coming on, especially on a holiday, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how did you get your brand as the underwear entrepreneur? I love that.
I was involved in a mastermind group that John Osaroff had back in 2008 when he had a company called One Coach. And I shared a kind of a little quirk with the mastermind group when we got together live for the first time. This was done via telephone calls at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the group for about a number of months before we actually all met each other live and in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared a quirk with them about my daily routine was I would get up, I had a home gym, I had a steam shower, and I would go down and work out first thing in the morning, take a steam shower, throw a towel on and go up and sit at my desk and start working. And sometimes, literally, I would be there until noon because this was before Skype and
mm-hmm.
variety. And I worked from home, so it didn't matter. And rather than the commando entrepreneur, I thought the underwear entrepreneur was a little more pleasing.
So everybody's dying to know right now. What are you wearing?
Shorts and a T-shirt.
There you go. I love that because I'm the same way, man. I get up, you know, I throw on a, you know, throw on a shirt and some shorts, and I could sit here in my office and work until, you know, 5 o'clock at night. You know, if I don't have any client meetings or I'm heading out, you know, it's all good. So
now
you've been in business for 20 plus years, right? And have you been working for yourself that whole time?
My current business is 22 years old. It was 22 years old in February. I started a company 3 years before that I was the president and founder of, and it's a long story for a different time, but there was a power coup. I was the president of the company, but only a 20% shareholder, and after 3 years, I was forced out in what I refer to as a hostile takeover. So a valuable life lesson was learned.
Yes, yes. Many, many life lessons are learned all the time. I was looking on your website, Underwear Entrepreneur, and you have a quote on there which I absolutely love, is good judgment comes from experience. Unfortunately, experience comes from bad judgment.
Exactly. I've kind of adopted a mantra, trust but verify, to borrow the line from Rick.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. So now, the reason I brought you on is because not only to talk about, you know, the entrepreneurial mindset, but then also you have something kind of new that you've been working on called The Virtual Company. And The Virtual Company is an online magazine. And this month's cover, you have Home Alone with, you know, the Haley. Who was the guy who was starting that? I forgot originally.
The kid. Oh, Macaulay Culkin?
Macaulay Culkin. So you got a businessman with a Macaulay Culkin look on his face. I just love it. So
yeah.
Let's talk about that. You know, it's like magazines and newspapers and those kind of things are kind of almost a thing of the past. I mean, it's getting closer than that. But now you've got a virtual one online. Can you talk about the inception of that and the audience and, you know, what its intent is and all that stuff?
Absolutely. Ironically, my current business partner, the CEO of 11 Media, I met at a John Ossoff event out in San Diego, so 7 years ago. So we've been friends for 7 years. And about 3 years ago, I was kind of consulting with him on this new venture that he was working on. And I try to keep on the leading, if not the bleeding edge of technology, just more as a fanboy, I guess, but also I use technology and have to do what I do. And the non-paid consulting, i.e. friendship type thing, eventually evolved into an investment, and then it was followed by three more investments. So I am the largest outside investor in this business who has patent-pending digital publishing and digital ad technology that we're just getting ready in the next couple of weeks to release version 2.0 of it. But he comes from a print publishing background, and he saw the handwriting on the wall for print in a variety of areas, and it's undergoing a transformation right now. I hope that print won't go away. I think it's going to be greatly diminished, although there are even some millennials who seem to enjoy holding a physical book. The problem that existed prior to our technology is that taking a print publication and making a PDF of it and putting it into Page Flipper software was not a good user experience on a small device. And it was very difficult and cumbersome. So we set about developing our platform with the user experience as the primary design consideration. And the first thing that we did, and this took almost 2 years, was we developed a templating system so that any content that is put into our platform is output in 318 different outputs. So it's virtually identical regardless of the viewing device, whether it's a small smartphone, whether it's a tablet, a phablet, a sub-notebook, a notebook, a desktop, a 27-inch monitor, whether you're viewing it on a big screen TV. So that was the primary design consideration. All of our publications are free to read and free to subscribe to. They're all ad subsidized. So we subsequently developed a digital ad platform. And because these ads are digital and digital publications, they're not static ads. The ad can literally be 1,000 pages long if you want it to be. We don't care. So ads can be interactive. They can be audio, video, text, graphics, infographics, live video. They can be links to websites without leaving the publication. And one of the kind of unique things that we did was we incorporated e-commerce transactions and lead generation within the publication without leaving the publication. So if you click on an ad, you can buy something, you can place an order at your favorite fast food place if they have that capability. I mean, there's lots of different things that can be done. And I see lots of potential near-future applications for this platform and this technology. Periodicals, trade journals, obviously magazines, a replacement for ebook technology that could be interactive, and we need to do two minor modifications to our platform to enable that, formatting and bookmarking. So all the heavy lifting is done, and we are on the verge of some rather significant licensing relationships with some of the top print publishers in North America to use our technology. And we're excited. You know, we're all seasoned entrepreneurs. This isn't our first rodeo, and we're being very patient, although I would like some instant gratification at this point in my life.
Who wouldn't? No, it's an awesome platform. I mean, it's you know, just I was clicking around as you were talking, kind of looking, and, you know, I mean, graphics move and text moves, and it's not, like you said, it's a completely different multimedia immersed type environment as opposed to, like you said, static PDFs that just page flip. Ooh, look at that, a page flip.
Yeah.
So,
wow, how exciting.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, when they first came out, it was really exciting, you know.
It
was first remote controls, you know, where you didn't have to stand up and change the channel on your TV. I remember those big
clocks. You remember that?
I do.
You must have read
I remember
about
actually
somewhere.
Having to stand up and go to the TV and turn the dial in order to watch one of the three channels you got.
Yeah, walk that 5 feet from the couch to the TV.
Yeah, that was awesome exercise back then. So now I think we get more exercise trying to find the remote control than we did actually getting up to change the channel.
And then
most
going to get batteries because they're dead.
Right. Most people couldn't figure out how to change the channel on a TV without a remote control, at least the ones that I have here. So
that's true.
So with this technology, it's obviously got some huge opportunities for you guys. How do you see, as entrepreneurs, I mean, how, other than reading the content that's provided, how could they possibly benefit from something like this?
Well, you mentioned Virtual Company, which is one of two magazines that I publish, and it's probably the one nearest and dearest to my heart because it's targeted to solopreneurs, home-based business owners, and people who run virtual companies wherever they're from. So I've had the good fortune of working from home, as I mentioned, for 22 years now. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And what I came to realize probably about 18 months ago is that my generation, baby boomers, are in a lot of cases being outsourced and downsized and everything else because they're some of the highest paid and highest compensated people in corporate America. They're being forced out. They're too young mentally to retire. Most of them aren't financially ready to retire. So the likelihood that they're going to hang out their own shingle and work from home is probably substantially greater than not. And this demographic doesn't know what they don't know, particularly if they worked in a corporate environment their whole life. So I want this to become the resource, the go-to resource for that demographic. And so my charter as a publisher is to find timely and relevant content with actionable advice for those people. And if I do that and I pull it off and, you know, so far so good, I feel that it will be a winner.
Mm-hmm. So now with these stories, I mean, how are you finding people who are writing the stories for you? How do, you know, if somebody is a writer and has some material, how would they get a hold of you to maybe present that to you?
They can certainly contact me, and we welcome content contributions. And it's not that difficult a process. I've got an overview PDF that covers content submission guidelines. It's an overview of the two publications, target audiences and demographics. And, you know, quite frankly, I've spent a great deal of the last 30 years being in sales, building a network of relationships. I'm a relationship sales guy. And so I've reached out and leveraged that relationship. I've also leveraged the relationships of my partner and some of my friends. And I've, you know, made it a major part of my daily, for lack of a better word, job is to go out and find content contributors. You know, it's exposure for the writers, you know, a potential new audience to hear their words. And so we welcome content contributions. And we've got 19 different magazine titles right now that we're self-publishing.
Wow.
So
lots of stuff. And you touched on a couple of things. I mean, the cornerstone of this show is about, you know, it's called Business Life Transitions. Of course, there's the bacon, the BLT. But the real cornerstone of it is we talk a lot about, and we've talked to a lot of people who are transition experts, I guess is the best way to call them. Like when somebody hits 50 now, or even 40, you know, you hit 40 or 50, you're basically handed a consultant's license, and it's saying, okay, now you need to go become, you know, a free agent, and this is the way it works. And most baby boomers don't understand the new technology, the new mentality, that the average life expectancy of a job nowadays is 3 to 5 years. And we've had people on the show talk about that, you know, as soon as you start your next job, you should be in the process of looking for the one after that.
Which seems crazy.
It is crazy, but it is the way it is. And a lot of it has to do with the new – it's really a new mentality. I mean, the corporate structure isn't what the corporate structure used to be. And now we've got millennials who come in who are just a different animal. I mean, they want their time freedom. They play by different rules and things like that. And, of course, you know, then you get into the financial side of things. I mean, boy, when I started out, man, we didn't have 401Ks. We had pensions and we had, you know, life – job for life, and the whole goal was to climb the corporate ladder to get into that VP role so you could sit in the C-suite and, you know, eat bonbons all day like everybody else in the C-suite does, and that's just not the way that it is anymore. And so, you know, how does this new technology stuff play into that? You know, in other words, how are we helping people better understand, you know, this new way, this new workforce, this new looking at, you know, jobs? Because, I mean, I'm like you, I'm an entrepreneur, solopreneur. I've been doing what I've been doing for 15 years. And I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've had, you know, multiple companies that I've started. And I went from solopreneur to corporate to solopreneur and forth and back. So how does this play into this new reality of, you know, working for yourself in your underwear from home, or, you know, being a freelance person, or you're selling yourself? How does that all, you know, in your mind, what does it look like?
Well, I'm a firm believer that you have to continue to learn. And I think that there's a great, I'll call it a misunderstanding, that when you're done with high school or college, that you're done learning. And that couldn't be further from the truth. I think the advantage that as an adult you have is you get to learn a lot of times about things that interest you, not things that you'll never use again in your life. And I think it's important, it's equally important to continually work, enhance, and improve your business skills as well. And that means learning new things like social media. And I can guarantee you that, you know, my kids laugh at me, but, you know, I'm plodding along, trying to keep up with all the social media trends that interest me. And quite frankly, that's a pretty small list, because I have a hard time with some of the new things that are coming out, understanding the importance or relevance of them, at least from my perspective. And I would probably say that it's a combination of not knowing enough about it, or from my perspective, what's the relevance of it? You know, what's it going to do for me?
Right. Yeah, and I've been in the middle of doing some stuff now with, you may or may not have heard of all of these, but there's Periscope, there's Meerkat, there's Blab, and it's basically self-video publishing on demand a lot of times, and where it's kind of interruptive, but a lot of people are using it to their advantage a lot of different ways. And I guess part of it is just not only learning, you know, that there is the technology out there, but then learning from other people, okay, what are they doing with it, and why are they, or how are they being successful with it? Any of those kind of things. You know, how do you have you been playing with any of those new social medias?
I'm aware of all three of them. I have not as of yet, just because I have plenty of other things to distract me on a daily basis. So it all boils down to, you know, from my perspective, priorities. And time is an infinite resource, as we both know. And I've got to spend it where it's most productive. And I have my home base business is still going. It's not thriving because I don't spend a lot of time or energy on it. But so I still have to maintain that, as well as work on getting content providers for both of my publications. And I'm also trying to do a little bit of selling and licensing stuff with people that I've met or that I know that might be interested in using our technology to publish their own digital magazines. So, you know, have a rather full plate.
So where, when you say you take time to learn and stuff, I mean, do you have a set system for yourself that you do that? Do you set aside an hour a day, or what do you do?
It's an ongoing process, and it happens all day, every day. I'm kind of a pack rat of information, and I come across a lot of resources, particularly extended learning. I've maintained a Word document that's probably up to about 150 resources for free or low-cost extended learning. A lot of them are websites. MIT, for instance, has an online learning portal and those types of things. But I think one of the resources I have is a list of about 150 just by itself, the single resource. So there are a lot of those things out there. I come across them. I bookmark them, throw them in a folder. And so when I need to find things, I generally have adequate resources, you know, to go out and do some research.
Yeah, it makes sense. One of the things that I like to do is, I have an appointment every day at 3:00 to walk my dog. And he lets me know that that appointment needs to be kept. So, what I've done is I basically search out and find podcasts, which is one of my favorite ways to learn, and just kind of listen to different podcasts, see what the trends are, see what people are talking about. Try to get an idea, at least in my industry of, you know, online marketing and social media and all that kind of stuff. What are the hot topics and what are people talking about and how are they using these things? That way I can kind of stay on top of, you know, without having to go out and do a lot of research. I mean, one of the shows I love is called Amplify, and they're actually doing the research for me. They're actually reading articles of stuff on social media and these tools, and that's what the whole thing, it's a banter between two people, Dan R. Morris and Rachel Martin, and the two of them just banter back and forth on articles that they found about what's happening. And there's a lot of resources out there like that. Do you listen to any podcasts? Any of that stuff interest you?
Not yet. I mean, I've listened to a couple. I've been on a few. This is kind of a new situation for me. I guess it's just one of many outlets. Quite frankly, because our magazines are digital, we can have audio content within the magazine, so we can incorporate podcasts or webinars or whatever, live video even. So
That's awesome. That's very cool. And, I've been doing my podcast now for, well over almost, not quite a year now, about 10 months. And, it's been really great because I've reached a completely different audience that I didn't even know existed. And it's been a lot of fun. And so, you know, exploring all these things, I mean, it's really what it boils down to is people have to, you know, find the media where they want to find it. So speaking of which, let's talk about your properties and your magazines so people know where to find you and find those magazines and things like that. So let's start with the magazines. Where's the best place to find those?
Of11media.com, and that's O-F. It's all spelled out. O-F-E-L-E-V-E-N media.com.
Okay.
There is
so that's all in one place?
It is. There are all 19 publications are there. There is a there's a tab at the top that says magazines. And you can read or subscribe to all of them for free. as I mentioned before. And that's, if you mouse over the individual, their copies of the titles, you can click on an individual title, and then there's an about page that tells you who the target audience is, the a general overview of the publication.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so this I see all the magazines up there, and you got all kinds of fun stuff. And is this, what technology is this built in? Just curious. Is it built
it
in?
It is. It was started out on a WordPress platform. It quickly outgrew that. It's now millions of lines of custom text or custom code. Excuse me.
Gotcha.
I think I mentioned we have a patent pending on the technology. And we are getting ready to launch version 2 of it, and probably by the end of September, with some enhancements and improvements. And it's been an ongoing process. This, realistically, this is going to be about version 4, since we did a soft launch of the very first publication last May, a year ago May. So
got some great titles and stuff in there. That's awesome. And
a little tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I like it. It's a sharkpreneur crushing it. Trumped. I like that.
that came out obviously before he, became a presidential contender. So that's kind of
right.
Humorous that was the title that was chosen.
Well, it can't hurt you.
No, exactly.
That's great. And so if people wanted to get a hold of you, what are some of the best ways to do that?
Very prominent and active on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. I've got multiple Twitter accounts, one for each of the magazines, a personal account, an underwear entrepreneur account. I got involved with Twitter early enough. My Twitter handle for underwear entrepreneur is UE1.
Also known as UE1.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, underwear entrepreneur is a little too long.
It is pretty long, yeah. And then, so many people cannot spell entrepreneur, including myself. I always smell that word. Anywho, so you got any plans for Labor Day? Got any big things happening? Going to be barbecuing? What you doing?
I'm laboring.
You're working in your underwear, right?
In typical entrepreneur fashion, I'm working today, trying to get things cleaned up that I should have done months ago. So
that's great. That's the beauty of having a holiday. It's a little bit of downtime for us. So, hey, Michael,
absolutely.
I really appreciate you coming on, man. This was some really great stuff, and I hope people go check out the magazines. If you haven't seen them, they're awesome. There's a lot of great content in there. They're very interesting the way that they load and the graphics and stuff like that. So check those out. Go to of11media.com and click on magazines. You'll see all those. And follow Michael on Twitter and find him on Facebook. And Mike, have a great rest of your Labor Day. And thanks again for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
But thanks for having me, and look forward to chatting with you in the future.
Oh, we will. All right, Michael, take care, man. Thanks.
Thanks, you too.
So anyways, that was Michael Schmidlin, and guys, if you haven't seen this, it's just, take a look at, it's of11, spelled out, elvenmedia.com. Check out some of the magazines there. It is a new way of publishing, and it's something that all of us will, soon get used to if you haven't done it already. I know a lot of people that have canceled their regular subscriptions. We even get our newspaper digitally now. It's part of the wave of the future, and it's up to us to continue to learn this stuff. So like Michael said, it's keep learning, keep growing yourself so that you can stay as relevant as possible. And you've heard me talk about reinvention so many times, and same with Jan. So anyways, want to wish you guys a great holiday, and we will be back here same bat time, same bat station next week with another fantastic guest. So have a great day.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgainco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.